Hey everybody, this is Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Yeah, we got a really exciting episode tonight. If you haven't already, go back to episode 3 and give that episode a listen to, because we've got our first repeat guest of the season, Teresa the Medium. And we've also got another guest here, Catherine. Catherine from episode 2. Go ahead and listen to that. For our casual listeners, maybe just fill them in on how you know Teresa the Medium. Give them the like quick summary.
Well, I lived in Oregon for a little while working, and she worked with me at a nursing home, and just every conversation we had, she'd talk about, you know, her life as a medium and just different things that she was becoming more in tune with, friends she was helping, like visions she would get, spirits she would see. Of course, I am not 100% convinced. I feel a little more spiritually connected, but I've been warned in many ways about, you know, just the whole life of mediums and that kind of thing. Anyways, just based on my experience, she's just one of the nicest friends I've ever met, very supportive. And in the end of that podcast, well, you'll have to listen. It has to do with reuniting my family.
Definitely download, listen to it, and even write a review of it.
And so today she's going to actually do a reading for us. We're about to call her and you get to hear all of it. We have no idea. You know, she just kind of started interviewing people and giving them readings. She does some over the phone. So we don't really know what to expect. Part of me is super skeptical. Part of me is super excited. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see if somebody can do a reading over the phone. I'm curious to know if somebody can do a reading in person. So over the phone feels like such a leap. I don't really know how this is going to turn out. I know that I think we all really enjoyed interviewing her on her episode. She had some great stories. There were some moments that still stick with me from those stories, talking about seeing the guy in her doorway when she was a kid and her mom running through, or the crazy incident in the bathroom, just all these instances of seeing physical forms of ghosts, which I think fascinates me the most. She also told stories of ghosts talking to her regarding people that came over to see her and passing on information. So we'll see if she's able to do that over the phone. But yeah, it'll be awesome either way. I can't wait to talk to her again.
I will say for everyone listening, I've been friends with her for 5 years, but she really doesn't know that much about my life. And I recently have blocked her on Facebook. So in case she got it, you know, in case anyone out there is thinking, oh, maybe she stalked you on Facebook and found all this information, I kind of went the extra step just to put that out there. As well as, we don't really know who she's going to read. She asked us not to tell her, give her a name or give her anything. So she's just going to call and direct this thing.
Are either of you like expecting a spirit to come through? I know for me, well, first of all, I'm a little skeptical about readings anyways. Although our last chat with Teresa, I thought was really incredible. But I haven't had like anyone too significant in my life that I've lost. So I feel like the reading may not be directed towards me. But how is it? How y'all feeling?
Well, I think if I could just like pull somebody out of thin air, because that's where ghosts live, right? I would pull either one of my grandfathers. They both passed away when I was really young, like one or two. So it'd be cool to know anything from them or about them. Also, there was somebody who helped raise me as a child who passed away when I was like a junior in high school. That meant a lot to me.
Y'all, the lights just flickered.
They did. Okay. So that would be really cool too. But again, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just have to see how it goes.
I have kind of been surrounded by death for a long time in my life, just with work and family and family members of friends and et cetera. So I'm kind of just open to whatever happens. I did bring a few pieces of jewelry from my grandmother, my dad's mother. I read somewhere that, I don't know, think about them throughout the day and bring an item of theirs. I don't know.
I usually just think about myself because I'm a little selfish. So maybe it probably won't be me.
All right. Should we do this?
Yeah. Let's give her a call.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, lovely.
Hey, Teresa. So we'll kind of just let you lead this if you're up for it.
Who am I reading? One person there, or what's the plan?
We don't have a plan. Yeah, is that helpful, or do you need us to pick someone?
I think Spirit already picked somebody, so whoever you feel there needs the message, that would be the person that Spirit's kind of guiding me towards.
Okay.
Okay, great.
And don't be afraid or anything. If anybody has any doubts or anything, just let it be. Don't be freaked out or anything like that. Just let, if you really feel it in your heart, just step forward and say me. So since yesterday, I have felt a brother energy with me. So who am I reading?
I feel like I'm stepping forward.
Okay.
To be honest, you guys feel called. We're not really sure.
I have two brothers. They're both alive. I don't know.
I can think of two brothers that are not mine, but are significant to other people in my life that are close to me.
Because I feel a very strong brother energy, but it doesn't always mean brother. It could be like a best friend feeling too, like he was my bro. So always remember that. So if I say brother, that could be, oh my gosh, that was my best friend and I considered him my brother. Does that relate to anybody there?
Not me.
And Kat, you said what about, you know, people who lost brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I did, I mean, I'm doing somewhat with names sometimes, but I don't always get names. But I did feel a Brian energy. Does that relate to anybody? That was just a little while ago. Brian just kept on popping out in my head. I'm like, okay, I'll write it down.
No Brians.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
How many of you are in the room right now?
There's three of us.
All right, let me see. Okay, so Kat, this could be for you if it was the energy for a brother energy to somebody that you knew. And there's two you said on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see if they're going to say anything. It's just a very constant energy next to me. Literally since yesterday, I'm like, I'm recognizing you, but I'm not going to communicate with you because you're going to drain me.
Wow.
Until the reading. They'll just keep pounding me. So I just kind of had to keep putting them aside. And so I'm letting him step forward to see what's going on. I do see a car. Was there a car accident with one of them?
No.
Was one of them driving or related in a car? Because they're showing me a car.
Hmm.
Or is somebody that you know driving their car? That's come up too in readings.
Yes, but it's, when you said the brother energy, you said it could be a sibling. Yeah.
Or best friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do know a very strong sister of someone who died in a car accident.
Okay. So it's a female energy that died in the car?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure this out. I think I've pushed them aside so far. I'm having a hard time now letting them step forward. Let me kind of get his energy up forward here. There'll be a lot of hesitations, I'm sorry. There's just a lot of I'm trying to see pictures in my head and feel things and stuff. So
no, you think you're...
I have to be silent.
Oh, no worries. We're totally fine and chill here.
Were any of these energies associated with education? Was somebody a teacher or trying to be a teacher? I keep on hearing a teacher.
Kind of. The person who this energy would be a sibling to was a teacher. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to get that connection. So
mm-hmm.
The female
mm-hmm.
is the teacher. Okay. And this would have been her brother.
They would both be female. The one that died in the car crash was a female.
Okay.
As well as the teacher.
Okay. Is there one sibling left? Did you say three people?
I did not say three people, but there is one sibling left, yes.
Okay. How many died in the crash?
She was the only one.
She died. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's a sibling left. Is there a brother left?
Mm-hmm.
That's mother, maybe why I'm hearing the brother, okay. So hard sometimes to figure out these spirits. It's like they're... The only way to explain it, I feel like they're kind of wasted. I'm trying to understand them.
That's so yeah, that's funny.
Do you get a spirit drunk dials?
Is that a good analogy? They're kind of wasted, and I'm trying to understand their, you know, or somebody with dementia. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying to figure you out, but you're not, you know, giving me the clear, they're not giving me exact clear messages. And one of them is making me very, very warm. Oh, wow. Just like that total overheated there for a minute. That was weird. Do you know this brother very well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does he have something hanging in his rearview mirror of his sister? Because I keep on seeing the rearview mirror. Usually when they show me that, there's like a little something in the rearview mirror or a little angel pin or something like that that reminds them mm-hmm. in the car. Would you know something like that?
I wouldn't know. Wouldn't know that.
That's something to ask because yeah. she's showing, I'm seeing a symbol of in the car, a little memory, a memorial thing kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And they won't let me kind of get rid of that. So I had to at least say it. Okay. Is there a Carol associated with anybody or a Lonnie or Lorraine names I got earlier?
I have a Lorraine, kind of not related to
the car situation.
Right, the car situation.
Okay. So I'm not getting much off the car situation now. She's not really. I think it's because there's not going to be a lot of validation,
mm-hmm.
depending on how well you know this person. It would be somebody that would maybe have to call me directly, like the brother.
Okay.
So that I can kind of, because he's going to be more, it'll be more specific to him.
Yeah.
It's hard because they'll kind of stop communicating with me if there's not enough validation.
Yeah. They are. I just don't know how much I'm allowed to tell you.
Okay. If I hit on something, say, yes, that's relatable. Okay. I will go back to Kat and Lorraine. Did they call her a funny nickname?
Mm-hmm.
I kept on feeling like Lonnie or la 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 la. I can't. It's not coming off my tongue.
Can I say it?
It's like la 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 la. I don't know what they're trying to say.
Can I say it?
Yeah, you can.
Lottie.
Lottie. Okay, because it wasn't rolling off my tongue because I don't have a frame of reference to it.
Uh-huh.
So it was Lottie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wouldn't have got that. I've never heard of a Lottie, but she said the nickname. So I was like, okay, okay. I felt an aunt energy earlier. Was that an aunt or somebody like an aunt to you? I don't know if this is the same person that felt like an aunt, but I wrote down aunt below it. Does that make sense?
Lottie is a great aunt, and the person I thought you were talking about earlier was my aunt, my mom's sister.
Oh, okay.
So lots of aunt energy there.
Are Lorraine and Lottie the same person?
Yes.
Okay, the nickname for that. Okay. And this was your aunt.
Great aunt.
Mm-hmm. Great aunt. Okay. So
your great aunt's name was Lorraine Catherine. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So Lorraine did come through. Okay. So she was the second name that I wrote down. So she kind of is more of importance for some reason. She wanted to come through. This had nothing to do with the family Margaret side. This was more that you knew along the way, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was the energy that was new or connected to growing up, because she's associating you with memories. So, and I know that family that you found that you had from Margaret's side,
right?
You wouldn't have passed that. So, yeah.
Right.
So that's what she told me.
This is
she's
not.
Just like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the memory side. Did you guys do like a family thing? And she was a big part of it. I feel like almost like an organizer of it. I keep seeing pies and things like that. And that usually mm-hmm. tells me that they liked to organize and have like food out.
I mean, I'm pretty sure she was a huge advocate for our reunion that we would have every 2 years.
For 2 years. Okay.
And she died when I was real young. So I'm sure she's still
not going to have a lot of memories there then.
Mm-hmm. But
okay. I feel like you're going to see a picture of her in all white. I don't know if it's a white apron or what it is, but I keep seeing all white and her like with food in front of her, like pies or something like she was very known for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe check into that with your family. Is this your dad's side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm seeing paternal. Ask your dad for those pictures because she said ask dad. So, I feel like there's going to be like a specific picture. You might even be in it with her, like even not as the main picture person in the picture, but maybe off to the side, but you're smiling at or something, or some big smile, some big grin.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of look for that. I kind of feel like she's directing that, and I don't know what purpose for, maybe just the memory, or just a validation. I'm not positive.
Okay.
But hers is more, the family was just really important to her, and mm-hmm. that, she likes it to be carried on. I feel like you guys are still doing your reunions. And she smiles. It's a big part of her. Is that something you guys are still doing?
It's something we haven't done in a while, but have recently been like, why haven't we done this side of the family's reunion?
Yeah, that's her. She's given that little nudge. So we got to listen to Spirit because she mentioned that for a reason with the reunion. So to her, it's like continue. This is usually why a spirit comes through to even communicate anything at all, is to say something specific, and that is her specific. That's her message to you. So I almost feel like she's kind of giving you a little tap on the shoulder to be that matriarch. it's something that she sees inside of you as an organizer, as a person that likes to have family around. And so that's a very treasured thing to me when spirit does that,
mm-hmm.
because they see something in you that you don't even see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I really feel like that's why Lorraine stopped in to tell you that, like, pass it on, let the little ones know what family's all about.
If Kat refuses, will she be haunted for the rest of her life?
No.
You might start smelling pies in the middle of the night. So I feel like that was her message, and I felt like that was the most important message because she kept on showing it, and she showed you in the center of it. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I feel like that's kind of your thing, and you're going to be – it's going to flow. It'll be this really cool experience for you.
Yeah.
I heard the name John earlier, and then I heard it again. Is somebody named John in the family that then has like a John also, like a John Jr. or something like that? Because I heard John twice.
So, well, not related to Catherine's person, but my name is John Jr. and my dad's name is John.
So you're a John Jr. Okay.
Both of us are still living.
Okay. And that's fine. That means somebody is trying to talk about you. Okay. So when I wrote down John, it said, they said it twice. I underlined two and I said one is named after somebody. I said Carol earlier, but that's not part of this. Is there a Sanders? I don't know why I wrote down Sanders. It's not a common name to me, but I wrote down the word Sanders. I was wondering if that was associated with your family at all.
No, Sanders in the family.
Okay. And is there something associated with trains with you or your dad?
Trains.
Because I wrote down train. I kept seeing a train, and so when I see something, I have to write it down. Or anybody else in the room.
I don't think there's an association with trains, but there, you know, maybe there might be.
Okay. That's just a big question mark. And also when I was meditating, I kept on seeing produce, and I don't know why, but every time I opened and closed my eyes, I kept on seeing produce for as far as I can see. Somebody associated with produce?
Do you see a specific type of produce?
I see round produce, like oranges or tomatoes or something like that. So I couldn't figure it out, but I just saw produce.
So I'm grew up in Kansas, and both sides of my family are all farmers.
Okay, so farming.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, so that might be something related to, was your dad's dad also a J name or?
No, he was not.
What's he trying to tell me? Hold on. Because I think this might be your dad's dad that's talking about this.
Okay.
Is he on the other side?
Yeah, he's on the other side.
Okay. So this would be your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did he do the farming? Was his ancestry line the farmers?
Yeah, I mean, it was like all ancestry lines in my family.
Okay. This is on your dad's side.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's
both sides.
He's showing me, because he's showing me kind of a while back mm-hmm. with the produce. This would be a very proud man. For him to talk about his produce, he's a proud man.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
I see the typical farmer. I see overalls and a tractor. That's my symbol for a hardworking man.
Okay.
I also see a watch. And when I see watch, I usually see a man that was very in tune with time and routine. Do you remember your grandfather being like that?
I don't remember, but, you know, I guess my dad and my grandfather had kind of a little bit of an estranged relationship.
Okay. Okay.
So it's possible.
Do you feel it was because he was a very, what's the word? Difficult man to be around?
Yeah.
With your grandfather? Because he's showing me a very stern presentation with his demeanor. And then he's turning around and he's softening and he says, I get it now. And so that to me is he's learning lessons on the other side for the way he treated people here.
Okay.
So I feel like he was just very difficult to get along with. And that I think that's why I also saw the watch. It's just always rushing, hurry, just leave me alone, kind of I'm doing my thing, but always a worrier too. Worried. And it took away a lot of today's joy. And, you know, for him, he didn't really live in the moment. And so I feel like that's what he had a lot of issues with people because he was always stressed out, worried, and difficult to get along with. Hmm. So people kind of backed away from him. Oh, let's see. So did your dad have brothers as well and they worked at the farm?
He had one brother.
Okay, because I see another male working and doing stuff. And let's see.
But his sisters also did. One brother, two sisters, and they all did work.
So. Is one kind of stepped away from the whole farming stuff or one's in it? I keep saying one, and I don't know if he means one is only doing it or one has stepped out.
None are farmers today.
But none of them are.
They all pursue different professions.
So your dad is your dad still in it?
No, he is not.
Okay, what's he showing me then? He's showing me one, and I don't know why he's doing that. They all stepped away. Did they sell the farm?
Yeah, I think my grandma still owns some farmland, okay. But we don't farm it ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what, like, the farm that they grew up in became of that, if that's still in the family or not.
She's still on the is your grandma still on the same property you said on the property of the farming?
No, she's not on the same property.
Okay, still trying to see what he's. I do feel a lot of remorse from this man.
Okay.
He just has a lot of apologies for his behaviors. Feel like he made a lot of choices that people really didn't agree with, and he's learned a lot on the other side. And he just wants to send out that apology. He says they don't have to accept it, but my apology is put out there to the universe for my family. I also feel like he wasn't the nicest to your grandmother. He loved her, but he wasn't the nicest to her.
Yeah, they divorced, and they definitely had
And that behavior again, those behavior issues, I feel like it was just enough was enough. But he does definitely loves your grandma. He's definitely sending her his love. He just didn't know how to show it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, I don't know, maybe this is part of it, but there was like one Thanksgiving where he wanted everyone to be at Thanksgiving. And this was like after... You know, I mean, they had been divorced my whole life. But so my grandma came to Thanksgiving and then my grandpa invited a friend of his. And the whole time we were pretty sure he was trying to like hook them up. Maybe that was a weird way of him trying to show love. Who knows? But I don't know. Oh, maybe he'll tell you about it.
Oh, gosh, that's funny. He brought a friend to hook up with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Maybe he was learning his lessons while he was still alive then.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe he's a swinger and he didn't know.
Who knows? I tell you, I've seen all kinds. I've heard all kinds of things from spirit. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, he kind of spun off in that little thing. But his message was forgiveness, please, of being sorry. I always remind people you don't have to forgive, but they feel the need to apologize.
Okay.
It's something that it has to, you know, that it's coming from his soul. It's not coming from a human place anymore. And the soul is so much bigger. And that means the lessons that he's learned over there are very, very strong. And he takes it very seriously. And so he is sending true heartfelt apologies without any intent of getting any forgiveness back. And mm-hmm. that is huge. That's a big lesson on the other side that they learn. So that is, I see a lot of growth.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So, if that gives your, maybe your grandmother any kind of healing. Okay. So that's the message there. That's the message there. Who has the dog on the other side who has very, very curly hair and is a white colored, a light colored dog? Because they keep on kind of hanging out with me. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think my grandpa had a dog like that.
The one that I was just talking with?
Yeah.
This was a very, you know, one of those dogs that's like, my God, those curls are perfect, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's just there. It's just been hanging around, kind of hanging around me for the last hour or so, and I've just kind of let it be.
Oh.
And animals are sweet on the other side. They just like to let their presence be known that they were around.
Are there any other dogs?
That's funny. I just saw a golden retriever. Just for a quick second, I saw a golden. If that relates to anybody,
that was mine.
Was that yours? Aww.
What about goldfish? Any
goldfish? I don't know. They're a little pissed off because we flushed them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, but it was a golden retriever, hun?
Well, yeah, it was. Aww,
that's your baby. Did you do a funny little cute name? Like Goldie kept on coming up. Goldie. I don't know what that was about. But that's what made me think of the golden retriever. It showed a quick picture of it, and it was like, I kind of tend to call all golden retrievers Goldie, I guess. I don't know if that's just a frame of reference or what it is, but
wasn't his name.
But that's the only reason I got golden retriever, because I heard the name Goldie, and I think that's just my frame of reference for a golden retriever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, did you used to put? Did you have a like a convertible or a Jeep at one point where the hair was just kind of going everywhere, and this dog was like liked the car, because this dog is showing me being in the car, but with like a lot of air, wind everywhere.
I didn't have either of those cars, but he was known to run away from our house, and the only way he'd come back is if we picked him up in a car.
He liked the car rides. Okay. He's showing me like the wind blowing in the hair and the hair blowing in the wind and just enjoying the heck out of it. That's just the memory that he's giving me at this point. So a car memory. They like the funniest things. I usually don't get too many messages from animals, but when I get them, they're kind of cute like that. Aw, so your little baby's around you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, this is a male, correct?
Yes.
He says, I lay in bed with you. Do you feel your dog, the energy of a dog in bed with you sometimes and walking across the bed?
No, but that's cute. Yeah. I hope he is.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of, we kind of dismiss it sometimes as just feeling warm and overheated in bed, and there's no particular reason for it. Nothing has changed, but that's the energy of a dog generally next to me, or a person, a human. We get like this, like, woof, I get very overheated sometimes just laying there. I'm just like, what was that all about? And I can feel that energy. It's very strong. So kind of look for that, because he's showing me that the way he shows himself to you.
No.
Yeah. So he just says, I don't leave the dog hair around anymore.
Hey, he would find it. I would find his dog hair like years after he died.
Uh-huh. Mm. I think that's why he wanted me to mention the dog hair. I just don't leave the dog hair around anymore. Okay. I always write things down. That's why I got, you know, Lorraine, and that's why I got the John twice and this, that, and the other. I also wrote down elephants. Does that have anything to do with anybody? Because I couldn't stop seeing elephants for about 2 minutes.
Elephants.
Hmm. Is it somebody's like spirit animal, or does somebody on the other side maybe really love elephants and you have that connection with them?
My grandpa was a staunch Republican, so maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
a lot
that's
of Republicans
well
in our families.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the elephant.
That's from. Funny. So I just put that aside because I was like, if I don't say it, it could be that one thing that really meant something to somebody, like, oh, that's my spirit animal. I see elephants all the time every time I think of my grandma, blah, 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 blah. So I do have a habit of just, even if it seems silly to me, I do write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try to speak it because it's somebody's thought, and I wanted to do it. I also wrote down, it was really weird, I wrote down blade of grass, but they had me highlight blade, and I don't understand. And then I saw a soccer field. Does that mean anything to anybody?
The soccer field, not so much, but my grandpa did cut off his finger in a tractor blade.
Oh!
So I don't know if that maybe...
And this was the same grandpa?
This is the same grandpa. Are you getting it from like a different... Can you differentiate between like one message kind of has like a one voice and then like another spirit kind of has a different voice in your...
Usually, yes. But sometimes when I jump ahead, when before I do the reading and I'm writing, I'm just writing down words and phrases and memories and thoughts. And they all kind of get jumbled. And then I'm trying to fine tune them.
That's so specific. The blade.
And so I wrote the blade of grass and then it didn't seem right. And that's why they had me highlight blade. And so it could have been your grandpa's segue in. And then I'd already written the John twice kind of thing. And so that segued grandpa in. So that could have just been his way.
Because
that's very specific to him.
When he knows JJ needs more validation.
right. And when they show me these things, it's all about validation. It's all about them saying, I'm really here. This is really me. I wouldn't known about the produce and the farmers and the this, that, and the other, because I don't know who I was even going to read today. So
right.
Same.
They are very specific. So in those weird little things so that it can come out during the reading. Let's see who else. Didn't want to leave anything out in the front here. So I felt a child earlier, but I didn't recognize that it was a child on the other side or that somebody that path left a small child. This would have been like a very small child.
Would they be, they'd have to be dead?
Either the child is on the other side or the person died and left a child here. I couldn't figure out the connection. I'm still not able to. Usually when I feel children on the other side, it's very strong. They're usually the first ones that come through, and this was not the case. So I think that's why I questioned it. So this could be them talking about a child they left behind. Did somebody leave a small child behind?
To be raised
by somebody else, or a family member had to step up.
My dad threw me in a ceiling fan when I was a child and it knocked me unconscious, but I'm still here, I think.
That's a story for another podcast.
I don't know if this is part of readings, but I did have a friend who like lost a child recently, but
Okay. So this could be the child on the other side. Maybe that's why, because it wasn't who I was reading. This is for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that could be why I'm not getting the strong connection. Because if it was you that lost a child, boom, it would come front forward. They would be first because it's just like mom.
Right.
So if this is somebody for somebody, I get the connection now. Okay. Let me see. Was this a girl?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was definitely a pink blanket that I see. And I do see color with boys and girls. So the pink blanket is very, the pink and blue blankets are very strong. Also, side note away from this, when I see somebody on the other side who is of, by choice, gay or lesbian,
mm-hmm.
I see pink confetti.
Oh, that's so cool.
Okay. It's the neatest thing. And it was just their way of showing me. And I'm like, oh, God, did I just see what I saw?
Right.
Just cool. So, that thought that was hilarious to throw out there.
Yeah.
So this
still
is
out and proud on the other side.
more than anything, showing you what a sense of humor they have and how funny it is to try to read people on the other side. Okay, this little girl. I keep on seeing three. Was this person, this child associated with 3 months, 3 years, 3 weeks early, 3 months early? Was three associated with this child?
She was 3 months old.
Okay, so the 3 months, because that the three was very big to her. Oh, was this a case where it just kind of stopped breathing?
Yeah.
Because I feel like no pain. I don't feel the distress. I don't feel anything. I just feel nothing all of a sudden. So I didn't feel like, you know, foul play was involved or there was a horrific accident. I just felt asleep. So do they consider this SIDS?
No. I don't know how much I can go into detail, but.
So the baby's just validating. I simply like fell asleep. They couldn't do anything about it. Was this baby born premature and the lungs weren't developed all the way?
Kind of. She had a traumatic brain injury in the womb.
Oh, in the womb. Okay. So since she's showing me, I simply fell asleep.
Okay.
So was there a, I don't know how much you know of this baby. Do you know the family really well?
I was in OT school with her mom and followed her on social media because
Do you know if her mother is on the other side, because she says grandma energy welcomed her, so it could be her grandmother or her great-grandmother. I don't know if you know if the if your friend's mother has passed or the grandmother.
I think both grandmothers are still alive.
Okay, because there was like a grandmother energy that welcomed her, and so she wants your friend to know I felt welcomed right away and I was never afraid. I felt a female energy with me that I recognized. So it just this, it gives the parents that peace. Mm-hmm. There was a very, very peaceful crossing over. Was there something to do with squishing up the head? Did somebody like squish the head? Was there like forceps involved or something?
Forceps?
Well, was there something, the squishing of the head? When she was in womb, was there, I don't know why she showed me that. I'm feeling like her head was squished.
I don't know all the details. I just know that she sustained, like she lacked of oxygen in the womb, which led to.
I just feel something in the head. And I don't know why, but I feel like a pressure. So I don't know if they were like, if it was when they were trying to get her out or I don't know what she's showing me, but, I don't feel like she ever really felt it, more so than she's just showing it. She's just kind of showing me. She doesn't have any memories, per se, to share with me because it wasn't very long that she lived on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Was there a brother?
Mm-mm.
Does she have a brother at home?
Nope. No brother.
No brother. Okay, well, then she has a brother that's going to be born then, because she's talking about her brother.
Cool.
So she's talking about the future, because she says, I have a brother. That's reassuring that they'll have more children, is what I'm feeling, and that she will be with that brother. So that's that reassurance that she's showing me right now.
Cool. Okay.
Let's see. I feel like her passing has just caused like a very, very difficult time for your friend. Like she had to stop working and there's just like this pause in her life.
Mm-hmm. It's been really, really tough.
Yeah, just pause. And that's what she used the word pause. She just wants to reassure her family it's okay to move forward. There's nothing they could have done. I think there's guilt associated with this, that they think they did something wrong. It's nothing that they did wrong. Mm-hmm. So this child just wants to really make sure that the family's okay. Let's see. So it's all these people for other people. Few Willikers. Except your aunt.
Yeah.
You're the only family that decided to come through.
I've had a lot of friends that have lost people.
Yeah, it seems like it. Try to get back to that sister energy, the teacher that died in the car. Let's see if there's...
anything there because she had me kind of look over that page again.
So who, that woman who died in the car, her sister was a teacher.
Her sister was a teacher. Okay. Just not getting a strong connection there. It's too far back in relationship. Who's Jess or Jesse? Just heard the name Jess, Jesse. I don't know if it's female or male. That relate to anybody?
Not to me.
No, not to me.
I have an Uncle Jeff.
Is he on the other side or living?
Other side.
Other side, okay. Is he an interesting character? You remember him being kind of interesting?
Not like in a weird particular way.
Not in an interesting way.
I found him interesting. Wonderful, wonderful man.
A little eccentric. Would you consider him eccentric? Because I keep seeing this person as eccentric, a little off, a little odd, but funny and charismatic. People loved him, but he was definitely his own little bird.
From my memories, but okay. I always knew him as just, you know, an uncle at family.
Uncle Jeff. Someone on the other side is very eccentric. I hate to even say it. Okay, was there somebody on the other side who's a cross dresser?
Now that I don't know if that's my grandpa or not. It's never been shared with me.
Interesting. Not that I know of.
I keep seeing a man dressed in men's clothes, and I keep seeing changing into woman's clothes and then back to men's clothes, and I've never experienced this before in a reading, and so
wow.
I was like, huh, interesting. So you might want to ask some family members.
Mom, was Uncle Jess a cross-dresser? Just real quick.
And I don't know if it was associated with him or what it was, but I keep seeing someone very eccentric and somebody who was very interesting. And then I just saw the man change into the woman, change back into the man. So, I mean, it could have been somebody who was considering having an operation as well. I felt like a female, but I was in a man's body kind of thing. Hmm. And in particular days and far back, you know, they didn't do that, but it could have been something, the way that they felt.
Mm.
And so not even as much as a cross-dresser, but thinking about it and always, you know, so that's just like a big question mark, but they're there.
<That's> there. <funny. laughs>
Okay. Who's Paul? I feel the name Paul just popped up.
I always want to say Paul, the wine guy from Friends.
Yeah, no. I think no Paul's on our.
No,
the one with the watch. I watched too much of Friends.
Yeah.
I feel an R name, like an older name, like a Ruth or a Rachel.
Ruth is my grandmother who passed away.
Okay. Because she said old name, and those are the old names. Okay.
And she was like 96 when she died, so she has both an old name and an old death.
That's definitely an old name, yep. Let's see, Ruth. She's kind of an ornery woman.
Towards
the end, especially.
Her husband was a like old school preacher. Again, they were pretty old, so they grew up in kind of that old school lifestyle.
Right. I just kind of see an ornery woman. And did she have dementia towards the end? Just kind of a head thing going on where she didn't really know too much what was going on?
Yeah, I know my grandmother on the other side did. I'm not as sure about Ruth if she had dementia or not. She lived pretty far away from me as a child, so I would see her like once every 5 or 6, 10 years.
Okay, not enough to really understand, yeah. Because I definitely feel a woman on the other side with dementia, with a kind of a out there kind of a thing towards the end. They point to their head and they kind of feel, I kind of feel cloudy when they do that. My brain kind of feels a little cloudy.
Yeah, that one would be Verdi, which is also a super old name.
Okay.
Both your grandmas there right now?
I definitely feel grandma energy right now. Actually, I almost... I feel one of them, like, hitting the table with a ruler, and I don't...
Well, she was a big member of the church and taught Sunday schools and ran, you know, a lot. And she also had, like, 7 children.
oh God, so she needed to be kind of the stern hand. That's just kind of my symbol for she was a stern woman. Like she needed things to be right the way it was. Blah, 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 blah. So it's not like she hit people with it.
She might have. They were real big into corporal punishment.
It's my symbol for a very stern woman and very, you know, that's just what she's showing. Definitely has soothed out on the other side now that she knows what it's all about. Big lesson there of you don't have to be like that on the side to enjoy life and to really have a good afterlife. You don't have to be like that.
We do not promote corporal punishment on this podcast.
No. And also excessive religion and shoving it down people's faces and thinking that the only way, that's the only way is really, from what I feel from the other side, that's not what it's all about on the other side. It's all about unity, all one. You know, and that's what I like to relate to people that I'm reading. It's like, if this is how they were here, they're actually saying, gosh, I wish I didn't spend so much time being this way. I sure did waste a lot of my life enjoying. I could have enjoyed a lot more of my life, so to speak. But that's just my opinion. That's just what I feel from spirit. So Ruth, okay. Grandma Ruth. I just saw, I don't know, when I saw her just now, she put the bicycle theme kind of from Wizard of Oz with the little dog in the front of the basket. I don't know if that was just her demeanor, like everybody was like afraid of her, or if she was grouchy like that, or that's how she saw herself. Does that make sense to you?
Good question.
Or maybe she wasn't that attractive because the woman on there was not very attractive. I don't know what she's showing, why she's showing me that.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't a hottie, that's for sure.
Sorry, Ruth. So I think she's making light of it, but you know. So that's the portrayal that she's given me, the old, you know, grouchy woman in The Wizard of Oz. This is definitely weird because you guys, I mean, there's three of you there. So I'm like, I think it's just all getting like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. But I don't feel like I got anything from the third person. Is that Noah?
Well, yeah. That was me, Ruth. And
Nate. Wait, who hasn't got somebody yet?
I think you've hit us all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Noah and I probably just have similar voices. Yeah.
You know, that white male beard voice.
Yeah.
I feel like I was leaving somebody out. I'm like, oh gosh, there's three of them there. Cat's family always seems to take over on things because, you know, it's Cat's family.
They're so rude.
But there's sometimes I can't do reading with two people in the same room. With two different families because one family is so overwhelming, the other one doesn't get anything. So when I get that, I'm so sorry. Maybe you're going to have to come back another time because you literally got nothing going on.
That is funny because I have met your family, Catherine, and they're very like outgoing and energetic, and my family is much more quiet and reserved. So that makes sense to me.
But my family on the other side would push their families out of the way.
I just picture like one ghost phone and they're all fighting to get to the
way to go, family, if you're listening. Proud
that
of you.
Is so funny. Kat, was your do you know much about Margaret and her life and what she did? Was she a seamstress or was somebody a seamstress? Because I see a lot of sewing. I keep seeing sewing and then I kind of associate with Margaret.
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I see somebody as a seamstress, so kind of ask the family. Because I just see a lot of sewing. They made their own clothes. They did this. I don't know if they did it professionally, like in a job, but I keep seeing a sewing machine in front of them.
My grandmother that's still living, like in a nursing home and dementia kind of thing, she sewed like all of our clothes as babies and like my mom's clothes when they grew up, big into sewing.
Okay. Okay.
But not that I know of on Margaret's side.
Okay. I'm just trying to see if I'm getting anything else from them or if the phone lines are going dead. I gotta have a little ghost joke every now and then.
is there a ghost request line, or do you just have to kind of sit and see what comes to you? Like if somebody gives you a name,
I literally have to just kind of see what comes to me. I can ask spirit for help, which I've done a couple times. And then as soon as I ask spirit for help, I'm like, you know, I'm struggling with the name here or something. And then boom, I got Ruth. And then boom, I got Lorraine. Boom, I got John associated with another John. It's just how it comes. And if I don't have a frame of reference to that name, I'm not going to get that name. Like Lorraine's nickname, I wouldn't have been able to ever get that. But she was showing me la 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 because I knew it was something weird that I've never heard. So that's just kind of how they come. But spirits just come when they come, and they kind of pick and choose, and some do step back and stay back a little bit. I actually have a spirit kind of further back is what when I use the word back, I kind of see them behind me and off to the side of me. This one's way in the back. This one would have had guilt associated with their life. This would have been a person who was an alcoholic or a drug addict, a sex abuser, offender, or took their own life. That's how I see, and I call them my peekaboo spirits, because that's how I see them. They're peeking around the corner, and then they're dropping their head in shame.
So how do you deal with when people come to you and want to speak specifically to a dead relative? Because I know that's a lot of people that seek out mediums. There's people that, you know, maybe they lost a sibling too soon or things of that nature. How do you deal with that?
I do usually get those first, but it's always for the highest and best good of the sitter. And so I have to take that into account. Sometimes it's not right timing, but for the most part, they do come through.
Teresa, how often do you have people or spirits reach out to you about your own life?
About my what?
About your own life. Like kind of how during these readings, you know, there's spirits connecting with the people you're doing readings for. Do you also have spirits try to butt in and tell you things about you?
Oh, about myself? No, I have to get my own readings from other people. Kind of sucks, but I do. I can't read myself because then am I validating it or I'm just having a memory of it? Am I just thinking it? Mm-hmm. If I don't get validations from other people, I don't know if they're there or not. So I can feel my grandma. I can feel my dad. I can feel people on the other side. They actually communicate with me through music. I feel a lot of music and symbols. My heart rocks, like I think we talked about before. I get songs. My dad has a very specific song, and I hear it at least once a day, the damn song. That's anywhere I go, it'll be on. It'll be at the grocery store when I'm shopping for groceries. So it's really funny. So I think it's when I need it is when they kind of come through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
So speaking of symbols, I want to ask you if you have any thoughts on people bringing like a specific item to a reading that is maybe connected with someone who is on the other side.
That does occasionally work.
We mean one of us brought something.
Oh, one of you brought. I would usually have to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so yeah, if somebody brought something to a reading, I would hold it. And we did a experiment one time when I was doing my mediumship development course, just so you know how it works. I can't remember the what it's called when you actually hold an object. I don't know. It's just lost. We all closed our eyes. We all reached into a tray that each of us brought something. And so we reach in and pulled up an object that was not ours. We didn't get to see it. We just got to hold it. And then we talked about it afterwards. And so with our eyes closed the whole time. So I was holding an object, metal object. I couldn't even understand what it was. I couldn't get a shape off it or anything. It was size of a rock, kind of a small rock. And I had these weird edges and stuff to it. I was like, I don't understand what this is. But I got a clear vision of Tijuana. And I'm from San Diego, so I know Tijuana because I used to go down there as a teenager and drink way too much. And then I kept seeing a lion. I have no idea why I was seeing this. And mind you, I was very new to all of this. And so when we opened up our eyes, I looked at the object and it was a lion keychain.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, holy cow. And then when it came to my turn to share, I said, oh, interesting. And I was writing down I was writing down on my, if I have to write, even with the note, with my eyes closed, I was writing down Lion and Tijuana. And so I showed my group my notes, and I'm like, I saw Lion and I saw Tijuana. And the girl that brought it said, oh my God. And she goes, she's from San Diego too. And I didn't even know it until then. She's from San Diego too. And her dad went down to Tijuana and bought that for her mom.
Oh, that's really cool.
Wow.
That is how it works.
So Teresa, last time you were on, you shared a couple of ghost stories with us about apparitions you had seen and things of that nature. And with this being a ghost story podcast, are there any other stories that maybe you didn't share last time that might interest our listeners?
Did I share the ones that my daughter has seen?
No.
If I'm remembering these from 5 years ago,
briefly mentioned, you know, that she has some of these gifts as well, but that's about
it. And I won't say her name, so she can't be mad at me. my daughter walked into the kitchen. Mind you, my daughter is more open than me and doesn't really know how to protect herself. And she was 16. She walked into the kitchen. It was a hot summer night, no AC in the house. And whew, these nights can get pretty warm. She walked into the kitchen in the middle of the night to get some ice out of the freezer and had the freezer door opened to the right. And she was pulling ice out, and so to her right, coming down the hallway, she could see clearly somebody was standing there, and her friend was over that night, and she said, you better not try to scare me in the middle of the night, or she thought it was me or something, and nobody said anything, and so she closed the freezer door, and there was a girl standing there, about her age, about 16, she looked like the Walking Dead.
Oh my goodness.
And my daughter didn't scream, but she put her hand over her mouth to scream. And then she ran right through her to get back to the bedroom because she was walking in the hallway, which must have been horrific in itself that she could have even gone close to this girl. But she wasn't afraid in the sense of she was going to hurt her. She was just afraid in the sense that she was there. But she felt like this girl was trying to talk to her. And that's what she just couldn't, and she couldn't understand it. She did not wake me up. I was just starting a new job, and guess where I was working, Kat?
Ooh.
That's where I met you. I had just started.
Honey,
there.
I can't remember the name of it.
River Park.
Okay.
River Park. So she knew that I was just starting work there, and she didn't want to disturb me. So she didn't talk to me about it until the next day. She has had that, and she also had something grab her from under her bed. I was in the kitchen. Her boyfriend at the time was in the bathroom in the hallway, and she was in her bedroom, and this all was in one line all the way down. Our hallway was very long, and I heard this blood-curdling scream. I looked down the hallway. I saw her boyfriend's face look out of the bathroom. He looked at me. I looked at him, and I said, go to her, and he was running to her, she was running across the hallway into my room to get out of her room. And she was hysterical, and it took her about 15 minutes to tell me that something grabbed her leg under the bed. And she felt it grab her ankle. It wasn't something hit her, like her skateboard was under there. It grabbed her ankle and wouldn't let go.
Did she see what grabbed her?
No, she did not. So the next day, when she was at work, I went and picked up the boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend. I picked up the boyfriend and said, you were helping me sage the house. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. I said, whatever's in the house is going to take a lot more than just me. And so we staged the house. We went through every room, and then we got to her room, and we both had the chills, like our goosebumps from head to toe. We were sick to our stomach. I staged once. I staged under the bed. I staged in the closet. I staged above. I had the window open. I staged again, and he looked at me and goes, it's still here. We both felt it so strong. And it's very rare that I feel darkness. But I felt darkness. I only feel the light. And so when I feel darkness, I'm very aware of the dark. And I did the sage one more time under the bed, in the closet, and in all four corners. And I kind of got a little angry. And I said, I need you to get the F out of my daughter's room. And I was not saying it politely. And at that moment, we both saw a dark smoke coming through my daughter's bed. Hovering above my daughter's bed, hovering, 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 and went out the window.
We had white smoke, and we were at the closet when this happened, because sage is white.
So the room was already smoky.
The room was actually only smoky where we were, and it was white smoke. This was dark smoke that came through the bed.
And you both saw it.
We both clearly saw it. We couldn't get out of that room fast enough. We tripped over each other 15 times going down the hallway and trying to get out the door. We got to the end of the hallway into the family room and just stared at each other. And he's like, what the F was that? And I said, that would be what grabbed my daughter.
Well, we had another guy on the podcast we interviewed, and he said, well, even before on the podcast, just as a conversation I had with them, he was like, if you ever feel that, you know, something's in your house, a dark spirit or something, and you're afraid to look under your bed or afraid to open the door, confront it, open the door, look under your bed, tell it to get out, like be stern with
it. Exactly. That's exactly what I did. And I knew I had to. This was to protect my daughter. I felt this thing was so evil. And I was like, oh, it ain't happening. And so mommy energy took over.
And big mom energy.
And so I confronted it exactly that. I confronted it. And I felt it gone the second it left. So did he. And so I picked up my daughter from work. We came back to the house. And my daughter was kind of walking down the hallway. And she goes, what's that smell? The sage. It kind of was in the house a little bit still. And I go, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And she goes, she's like, oh, okay. She went into her room. Mind you, she didn't go in her room up until that moment because it happened the night before. She did not sleep in the room. And so she went in her room and she just kind of went, it feels better. Yeah. We did not tell her we were saging. She said, it feels better in here. And I said, oh, I'm glad. Maybe whatever was bothering you last night's gone. And we didn't tell her at the time that we saged.
So, Teresa, you said that you don't feel that dark energy very often. Is there another time that you felt?
I felt it when I lived in San Diego a lot before I really, you know, put this kind of gift together with what's around me and stuff. I would be vacuuming. And for some reason, when I vacuumed, I guess it's the white noise, I just would feel stuff all around me. It made me so on edge all the time. I felt sick to my stomach. I felt twitchy, like looking back to my right, looking to my left, to the point where I had a house cleaning business. I left a house one time undone. I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, that happens to my dogs too when I vacuum.
Well, I think that's about all the dark stuff that I've experienced, just those feelings. I've seen like this, seeing a spirit, a really dark energy in the back of a truck one time staring at me, and all of a sudden it disappeared. That's like, that was like startling. And it was over by the hospital that they were building. At the time, over here in Springfield, I kind of have a feeling it was mixed with that. It was something to do with them digging up the ground. And this, I just, that's the feeling I got. It was just really, this dark energy was very strange. Otherwise, it's just feelings.
Did it look like a face, or what did you see staring back at you?
I saw a very grotesque man's face. Just kind of give me this look. And then he had no hair. It was like a bald kind of a look, wearing dark clothes. And all of a sudden it was gone. And I was in a van, so I could see into the truck, the bed of the truck. And I looked down at and it was empty. And I'm like, holy shit. Okay. All right. So I just saw something very weird, and it startled me. And I was afraid it was going to follow me home. I was all freaked out about it, but it never bothered me again.
And how do you, just as a human, how do you compartmentalize an experience like that? Because I think for most of us, that would send us over the edge.
I don't know. I think it just is who I am. Ever since I was so young, I've had to do so many things like that of just dealing with it. Because, you know, seeing them standing in my doorway and stuff like that. I don't know if you ever get used to it. I think you just know that you're okay. Every time that you're okay. And I always ask for protection. I would say, please, Lord, protect me. Please, Lord, protect me. Please, Lord, protect me. And that helps me a lot. So I always try to bring the good in. And that always makes me feel a lot better.
And just to kind of wrap things up, I did have another question. So Kat was alluding to, we had Devin on the podcast. He did a two-parter where he shared some experiences. He had a lot of experiences with kind of these dark entities or what we might refer to as like demons, things like that.
Right.
To the extent of it was invading his dreams, trying to convince him to kill himself. Have you experienced through your readings or just through your experiences with the supernatural things that on that level or entities on that level? Or have you heard of things like that happening before?
Heard from people, but never anything myself. And not anything that I can remember specifically, just like, ooh, that's creepy kind of thing. I think I do best by not thinking about it. I don't watch scary movies. I don't read scary books. I don't watch scary television shows. I don't even watch commercials that have things that could stay in my mind. And so I think people with sensitivity like I have, we have to protect ourselves. And I think people don't. And I think that's where that can kind of come into the dreams and stuff like that, because you're already susceptible. You're already sensitive. You're already like, hey, this person's open. And if you're not really blocking yourself, you're not really blocking your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not being careful.
And that's something that I've found the most fascinating about this podcast so far. It started from a area of skepticism for me. And now, since we've done some episodes and we've spoken with you and we've spoken with Devin, and just through kind of promoting the podcast with friends of mine in the real world, I've met other people who are like you and Devin who see spirits often and have to deal with this stuff for better or worse, to the extent where some of them are afraid to come on the podcast because they don't want to heighten their experiences any more than they already have them.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't watch scary movies. They won't even listen to the podcast because they're so afraid of taking things to another level for themselves. And that's not something that I had ever considered that people had to deal with in their everyday life.
Right.
Yeah, I've also been warned about doing this podcast that it could summon things or energies.
And, you know, I've heard both ways and stuff. I think just being careful and true to yourself and keeping your thoughts positive is huge. I just have always done positive, not always, but I really do practice positive thinking. And when you add in all that negative stuff and those negative vibes, that's not positive living and that's not positive thinking. So you are more susceptible. And I can see why people would have these awful dreams and experiences with demonic stuff and all that kind of stuff. You're more open. You're just letting yourself be very open. So I do imagine a bubble around me often, and mm-hmm. I keep that bubble nice and safe. Yeah. And I think people need to practice that more when they are sensitive.
Well, as we wrap up, do you have any last words for our listeners regarding doing readings? Would you like to promote your email or how they can contact you to maybe set up a reading with you?
Sure. They can do healingheartsmedium@yahoo.com. And that's the best way to get a hold of me until my website's up. I'm having somebody design it right now.
Oh, great.
Awesome.
It's been chaotic a little life over here in Oregon.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing this. It was such a cool experience.
Thank you. If I get anything from any of these other spirits, because sometimes I do, I'll let
you
know.
Are they still there hanging around?
No, they've kind of winded down a little bit. I usually know because I'm not getting any clear pictures anymore. Yeah. There's not much clarity. They've kind of into the light. And so I just kind of let them kind of go there. And I think for the most part, I think there's still going to be one or two messages that might come through, and I can let you know, Kat. You would have to get validation from some of your friends and stuff like that. So,
right. And Teresa, I did want to read you one email that we got regarding your last episode. I thought you might enjoy that. So Sarah reached out to us and she said, I'm a skeptic as well, but got some chills listening to the Teresa episode where she shared her story as a medium, and I planned to email her. And she wanted to let us know how much she enjoyed that episode, and it kind of excited her to explore more into the supernatural world. So I thought
that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I think my main goal is to have people just know that it's okay. It doesn't have to be a negative experience. It could be a great experience to have a message from a loved one on the other side, especially something that's so
needed. It's a wonderful experience, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should not have fear. The other side is all around us. They're not millions of miles away. To me, they're not. They're in a different dimension, so to speak, but it's right next to us always. Right. I think our loved ones are always nearby. I think that's why we feel them so much. I mean, they're always just a whisper away and a thought away. Our thoughts are very strong. We have to remember that. Our thoughts are very strong. When we want them, they're there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Teresa.
You're welcome, guys. I hope I can do it again sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was a little nervous, but I hope I did okay.
Oh, yeah, it was
great. You're great.
And if spirits are still lingering, tell them to check out the podcast, like, subscribe, and review it. our listeners who aren't on the other side, you can go do the same thing too. So.
Yeah, and awesome. You can let the spirits know. They can email us at therealhauntingspodcast@gmail.com and share some more stories.
Oh, and find us on Instagram and Facebook at Real Hauntings Podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great
evening. Thanks, Teresa.
Bye.
All right, guys, so you just heard Teresa share some readings with us and then some more ghost stories.
Yeah.
So, JJ, Kat, what are your thoughts on that? That was a little, it was interesting. It was different than what I thought it was going to be like.
Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. So, I guess my grandfather apparently came through. I'm a little skeptic still.
Yeah, because I think we could all tell how, like, she would say a name, and it was harder because it was on the phone and all three of us, but she'd say a name and be like, any of you have this? And then I see how it can be, like, we're feeding her stuff to go down different
routes. Right, for sure. It can kind of feel like a fishing expedition a little bit.
But some of those specifics, like the blade, I mean, that was...
The blade, I think, you know, could have been a coincidence. I think some of the things about, like, you know, my grandpa and the relationship and him being more stern, I think, you know, that's kind of a common story, especially for old farmers of that generation. So, you know, I can, what she said about my grandfather was, like, it all felt and rang very true. Was it because of some sort of spiritual communication? Was it just, you know, she has good intuition and is able to infer those things? I don't know.
Is that what intuition is?
Right, yeah. I will say I, like, don't believe she's lying to us when she says she's seen certain things or, like, a name's popping up in her head. But I don't know. Is that coming from the spirits, or is she kind of following her subconscious and seeing that as coming through the spirits? I guess, you know, it's hard to know without directly experiencing it myself.
Yeah.
I think the things I found the most interesting were the names that she hit right off the top. Lorraine and Ruth. Yeah. That was interesting
when
to me.
She said Lorraine and then she was like Lala and you were like, oh, Lottie. That,
right.
Yeah, that was cool.
Kind of, yeah.
Also, I agree about, like, that generation, especially, like, a grandpa figure being grumpy, especially if this peekaboo spirit was my grandpa. I don't know. It did sound like him. But do all grandpas have white, fluffy, curly haired dogs?
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, because I always assume, and I still assume, that when animals die, they did. I don't know how they can talk to us. I want to believe it. I love my animals so much.
Well,
they're my
talk
best
to
friends
us with their behaviors. They just can't verbalize.
So you think there might be human ghosts but not animal ghosts?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, now
I think that's very...
Do you know how overcrowded it would be?
Okay, guys, this is a whole nother podcast, because I have this crazy story, shocking, from Oregon about a roommate I had who worked at the same place as me and Teresa, Teresa and me.
Yeah.
Mom, are you listening?
Mom, if you're listening, email realhauntingspodcast@gmail.com.
And let us know if our grammar was right. But I lived with her for like 3 weeks. I'm going to just tell a brief story, I promise.
No, go for it.
And her cats... She had three cats and she had a dog, and the dog started acting really weird, like scratching the doors and just like barking a lot. And she was like, okay, so my dog is never like this. The dog's name is Penny. And so one day she sits me down with her boyfriend at the time and she goes, Catherine, when my other cat was alive, I called an animal communicator to help me deal with the death. So I did that again because Penny's been acting so weird. They're so serious with their faces right now. And she's like, the communicator said that Penny is stressed out because she doesn't know how to handle you. She doesn't know what you're about. She doesn't, and she was like, so, I don't know. It was so weird. I started laughing, but she was like, Penny doesn't like the way you treat the cats. Now, I love cats. I have a cat, but I tease them a little bit. But I was never, like, mean to them. Her and her boyfriend were seriously sitting there being like, so you need to treat them with more respect so that Penny can be at ease because she doesn't know who you are. Like, she feels threatened.
How old were you?
How old was I? Oh, wait, I don't
know. Were you a kid when this happened? Or
no, this was, like, 4 years ago.
Oh.
This was with the same time as Teresa. And then so she dove into the story about the animal, about her cat, and it was weird. But apparently you can go to school to be an animal communicator.
Did it?
I don't know.
Did you treat the cat with more respect, and did you all bond?
I laughed during that conversation, which she didn't like, and I was moving out like 2 days later anyway, so.
So the cat was probably fine.
The three cats.
The three cats.
I didn't think they hated me, but I guess Penny felt threatened because she didn't know like what I was about. If you're an animal communicator and you're listening to this, we'd love to chat with you.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, if humans can be ghosts, which I'm still skeptical of, but if they can, why can't animals? Because really, right. We're just animals, all right? We may wear clothes and do silly things like that, but... I think
just seems too easy. Because like, since when she started talking about pets, my heart immediately was like, oh my God. But then I'm like,
They could all be shedding or whatever. But the specific description of that one and the fact that a golden retriever jumped out. But
yeah,
maybe,
I mean, that is impressive.
Maybe she knew I love goldens.
I don't know. I believe that these are her honest experiences. She doesn't come off as like a shyster or anything.
Right. I have heard other medium stories where dogs will pop up.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Wine and Spirits is a good podcast. Monica the Medium's on that for anyone listening and interested.
Well, despite my skepticism, I did think that having the reading was a really cathartic experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know how everyone else felt.
It answered a lot of questions for me, how they kind of work. I didn't have very high expectations just because it's over the phone. I feel like a reading is something real or fake. It's very personal. And I think sometimes it's hard to be personal over the phone. I think she did a great job of trying to make the connections and make everything work. I think it was a little hit or miss. I think there were some great moments, and hopefully those will shine through as you listeners have listened to the episode. But I feel like I want more. You know, I'd have to see more. I'd have to experience more out of a reading before I'm willing to say, yes, that is real. I'm more inclined to believe her ghost stories and some of the bigger experiences that she shared on the podcast. Just, I don't know how you would make those things up. They feel too real when she tells them. I'm more inclined to jump into that pool of thought than I am quite ready to jump into the medium experience. But again, you know, down the road, I think it would be great for all of us to go, I don't know if it'd be Teresa or another medium, and maybe do one-on-one readings with a medium and then record that and share that on a podcast. I feel like we put a lot of pressure on Teresa there to, let's just say hypothetically, it's all 100% real. Can you imagine trying to take three people's generations of death and have those generations of death communicate and divide in between
the
three
people?
The light
just flashed again. But also she does group readings. Like she'll be in a room of like 30 people. And have to be like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. But the more, and she's also still kind of honing into her mediumship.
Yeah.
You know,
I just picture her at like Xavier's school of magic
just
people.
Like, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that was this week's episode of Real Hauntings. I'm JJ Crable.
And I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Catherine Clark. Ooh.